An mung zu khasan gare she bare la na chen ji sen ba nam ji dang bo nyam len che du kap la kan es na ware la na ta yu ne du jin chen nyom mong cha dang nyu su nyom mong ji yu le ne le de ba yin na de ne ngang zu che nyam len che wa la ba she yun go re de ne yin za ne nyam le ya go ju yo ya le ya an de ji ne en ba tien ne en ba tien che no du che ne nyam le na ware se che zan ne en ba tien ba yin na gare che bare yo se ne ane Chike, Miki, Toyata, Amchuki, Nyaya, Jata, Takanji, Wongbo, Tui, and Chike, Joy, Lasobatang, Luja, Lasoba, Tinele, Miki, Chapa, Jayade, Yungo Mares, and Dimeva Mazer, and Luida, Naikon, Shanda, Tizu Shiata, Jun Shiata, Chama Shiata, and Chik, all those in him. Lui yukone, luma yi yukone, sabi kewa dike, ane nyungu gore. Zizek dine yinza, tsutumye laba dike ya, wajin yamne jitu gore. Zizek tsutumye laba nyamne kewa dike ya, ngangi peyo du, dine tsutumye laba shiji, dine zin, zizek di meji, dine zin gomyo du, ane dine zin dike laba dike, dine zin shine dike nyurdu kia dang. Da dine ki kewa yina, dine rikba sebo tangba cha yudu, ane jike, dame ba la soba da, dine ki namsha jeba jitu, lehni ki namsha, Ma, and the chison on my pay, and the shandy shanky digi to be at a duma say, and the shandy a chute in a pay, then again, shanla, say, wongi, and shanky, shanky, duma say, digi to be at Donala and chute, and the yamen chacha do send a patient and go reagent, and the just amount of you doing a patient now a day. Tidandy, guess a lalin, yes, guess a chanter sympathy. Tiningamlin Andu Chebe, Mazu in there, Janusiba, Nima Janusiba, Yaman Chida, now on Hashing also in the Chehore, yes, as long as Andy Korea, she is such a.
Good morning. Yesterday we continued to look at this marvelous text on the 37 practices of bodhisattvas. And we, within the section, that all the beings who have generated bodhicitta and have arisen as bodhisattvas themselves, all the, they engage in the very practices that we are looking at right now. The practices that we looked at yesterday were the practitioner who has given rise to a strong wish to generate bodhicitta in themselves, have given rise to a determination to become a bodhisattva. They look at the environment they find them that they are in right now, and they look with honesty and determine whether this is an ideal environment for the generation of bodhicitta or whether it impedes the generation of bodhicitta. And to discern this, they look around them. They investigate, look around them and investigate their mind and see, are they surrounded by objects that lead to the ready or the easy ripening of afflictions, the easy ripening of powerful afflictions, and the abiding of these afflictions. And if this is the case, that they see they are surrounded by objects of the senses, objects of sight, of sound, of taste, touch, and smell, that lead to the ready abiding, arising of afflictions and their lengthy abiding, then this is not an ideal place for the generation of bodhicitta. And they rather change their environment, making it into one that is isolated or secluded, meaning it is secluded from these objects that lead the objects of the senses that lead to the easy arisal and abiding of the afflictions. And having changed the environment to one that is more isolated, having retreated to solitude, there, naturally, the afflicted minds gradually diminish due to the lack of the objects of the senses. And secondly, engaging in non-virtue naturally decreases because they are now in an isolated place. There isn't anyone suitable to lie to or to deceive. And therefore, their application to virtue, their accumulation of virtue, is aided by the diminishing of the afflictions and the diminishing of non-virtue. So this is how an aspirant bodhisattva trains. And moreover, having gone to isolation, because their afflictions are weakening, their non-virtue is weakening, their practice, or their higher training of ethical conduct, this is naturally enhanced. Therefore, the mind of restraint, the mind of ethical conduct, readily grows stronger. And as their training in the practice of ethical conduct grows, they are developing the basis upon which the second of the higher trainings is based. The second of the three higher trainings is that of concentration. It has as a prerequisite the training in ethics, because it's ethics which subdues the mind, makes the mind ready to develop concentration and special insights. With this basis having been achieved now in isolation, the aspirant bodhisattva cultivates concentration. Concentration itself, the second higher training, is the basis independence upon which the third higher training can be cultivated, that of wisdom. So therefore we see that the aspirant bodhisattva, with honesty, looking at their environment, seeing whether it's conducive or not to the generation of bodhicitta, retreats to a place of solitude, a place which is ideal for the cultivation of the three higher trainings, and generating these, they too generate bodhicitta. And once the aspirant is no longer an aspirant but is an actual bodhisattva, and the bodhicitta that has arisen within the continuum, now being uncontrived, is developed to the point where it's stable, then the bodhisattva, in order to enact the bodhisattva aspirations, re-enters society and now engages with others with a love that is free from partiality, with a love that is free from attachments and self-interest, and engages with others. And these beneficial activities that this being is now able to engage in are quite different from beneficial activities that us ordinary beings can engage in due to their love, compassion and wisdom, and thereby they can have an impact of great meaning on the lives of others. And all the difficult circumstances that before hindered the cultivation of virtue, the cultivation of the three trainings and bodhicitta, these now, because of the great power of the bodhicitta within the mind of the bodhisattva, these serve to ever strengthen their bodhicitta and their wisdom. And thereby, with ever-growing skill, they can directly engage in acts that bring great benefit to others. So this is how aspirant bodhisattvas practice, and this is how all bodhisattvas have practiced. So we ourselves, who are hearing this teaching, we have a wish to accumulate virtue, the causes of happiness. We have the wish to transform ourselves, transform our way of thinking, to live a life of great meaning. So therefore, we should practice like the bodhisattvas. With honesty, look at our lives and separate ourselves from the objects that easily lead to the arisal of the afflictions such as attachments and anger and confusion. And rather, ensure that we reside in a place where these are minimized, and thereby we aid the cultivation of bodhicitta.
We've
heard about the fault of staying somewhere where our afflictions readily arise and the need to retreat to a secluded place. But what are the qualities of a secluded place? What makes a secluded place ideal for the three higher trainings to be cultivated and bodhicitta itself to be generated? Well, this is presented in the ornament of Mahayana Sutras. Whomever amongst the wise gets a proper place of accomplishment, a wholesome place without thieves and the like, a healthy place without disease, and wholesome friends, and this is in the sense of view and conduct, will possess the qualities of yogic bliss. So I'll read it again. Whomever amongst the wise gets a proper place of accomplishment, a wholesome place, a healthy place, and wholesome friends, will possess the qualities of yogic bliss. The first line, whomever amongst the wise gets a proper place of accomplishment. This then, the wise here refer to those who have given rise to the strong determination to attain liberation. So here they have the strong wish to become liberated from suffering, and in order to do so, they've recognized what is impeding them, and they are now determined to resolve those impediments and rather to attain ideal circumstances. And these ideal circumstances are what is meant by place of accomplishment. So the first line, whomever amongst the wise gets a proper place of accomplishment. first line then, whomever amongst the wise is referring to those who desire liberation, and they then seek to get a proper place of accomplishment. And this then, the proper place of accomplishment, is a secluded place, an isolated place, where a liberation can be achieved. So what are the features then of this place of accomplishment, or an isolated place, a place of solitude? Here then the verse continues with the next line, a wholesome place. So what is then meant by a place that is wholesome? Well, if we think of somewhere that is isolated, we will immediately conjure an image of a place that is far away from others, far away from the hustle and bustle of life, far away from other people and the distractions that are brought by city life and interactions not of great meaning with others. But for a place to be wholesome, it's not sufficient merely to be isolated. If one is too far away from others, too far away from society, one will encounter other obstacles, other impediments to the cultivation of bodhicitta within oneself, the cultivation of the three trainings within oneself. Because if one is too far away, too isolated, too secluded, it will be very difficult to get food. And if one is not able to sustain this body, one's mind will be distracted, one's body will weaken, and one's ability to cultivate virtue will be greatly hindered. Moreover, if one is too isolated, the other resources that one needs for one's place of practice to be as conducive, these will also be difficult to get. So if one retreats to an isolated place that is too secluded, then one ends up having to travel far and wide to attain the resources such as food and clothing and whatever else one needs to sustain one's abode. And this serves as a great impediment. So one needs a wholesome place where these can be found with great ease. And therefore one is able to sustain one's body and not be distracted by trying to attain our material requirements.
Jika senyum puja itu rawat jenis jahat itu dua meh juga lumbar itu tidak dua na, yang dini ke rawat jika meh itu nyamai ya kau rumah, jadi nyamai ciri ni empat itu dini ke dini hal ya, orang juga jika siapa puja itu dini ke rawat jika ya kau ni kau boleh sebola, tapi dini ke rahadi kecik boleh di sebola ni lawas ada.
And furthermore, if one is so the meaning here is not to be so isolated that you cannot sustain yourself. But not. But that doesn't mean that one needs to be somewhere where one can easily get work, earn some money, and then buy what one needs. That's also not the purpose of going into isolation. Rather, one needs to be somewhere where one has companions, those who will assist and aid one, but not hinder one. One needs to be not so secluded that those who want to offer support, who want to make offerings to you, for example, are able to do so. Not that one is so isolated that they have the wish, but they are not able to fulfill that wish. So therefore, whilst one needs to be isolated, one still needs to have the support of others. And to have the support of others, one needs to be at a place that is both isolated from the places where our afflictions readily arise, but not so isolated that we can't receive the support that we require.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, a suitable place for practice needs to be a place freed from danger to one's life. If one is somewhere where there are gangs of criminals roaming, that would be a place of great danger. They may steal what little one has or harm oneself. Likewise, if one has retreated to an isolated place, but there are dangerous animals there like lions and tigers, this is not a place that's conducive for retreat, because such places, one's life is in danger.
Furthermore,
this place needs to be somewhere where one is not free, not only freed from dangers posed by sentient beings, but also from the natural environment. If it's a place that's prone to flooding, or it's a place where sometimes due to heavy rain, landslides happen. This is, of course, very dangerous. Also, if one goes somewhere that is renowned for earthquakes, this too is not a suitable place to be isolated.
And
furthermore, if the place has it's not clean in the sense that illness can easily be caught there, whether from mosquitoes or from water that is dirty. If one can easily get ill there, this is not a suitable place to be isolated.
So
to refer back to them to the verse, whomever amongst the wise gets a proper place of accomplishment, a wholesome place and a healthy place. So these are two of the qualities we've looked at thus far, a wholesome place and a healthy place. Then a third quality is wholesome friends. A wholesome place, a healthy place, wholesome friends. So wholesome friends are required, or we could say ethical friends, friends of benefit. So this refers to as two aspects. Those who give material support, in other words, those who will make offerings of food, and those who can help us overcome unexpected problems. For example, if we become ill and we require a medication, or if in our environment something has unexpectedly happened and we need supplies that we wouldn't have otherwise expected, someone that will readily be able to provide us with this material support. And wholesome friends then has a second meaning too. And that is, unless one has a prior gained certainty with regard to the topic that one is meditating, then one is likely to encounter some obstacles in one's meditation. So therefore, it is ideal if one is in a place of seclusion with one's spiritual teacher. Because then, when one is experiencing some obstacles or has some doubt, one can ask the Supreme Guide. One can gain unmistaken support and guidance from one's spiritual teacher. So the third quality, that of wholesome friends, has these two components. Purpose of retreating to solitude was to get away from the objects of the senses that lead to the arisal of afflictions. So now one has retreated to solitude, and these objects are greatly reduced. But a further feature that a suitable place of solitude requires is that the various sounds of the natural environment, these also need to be very few, because these can serve as great distractions to the mind when trying to cultivate calm abiding. So if one is in a place, a secluded place, where all one can hear are the sounds of nature, but these sounds are perhaps loud and disturbing, such as if one's near a waterfall or a fast flowing river, or if it's a place where there's strong wind that makes a lot of noise, or a place where there are lots of sounds from the wildlife, whether it's birds chirping or other forms of wildlife. Here in the secluded place, those sounds become amplified and they serve then as a distraction. They serve to distract the mind when the mind is particular, when one is trying to cultivate calm abiding, one is struggling to develop a mind that is stable and undistracted. So these are the features of the place of solitude, a wholesome place, a healthy place, wholesome friends. And then the person amongst the wise who wishes for a proper place of accomplishment, who possesses such a place, has a place where the qualities of yogic bliss can be generated. So the term isolation or solitude, an isolated place, what it refers to is a place that is isolated from the busyness of city life, a place that is isolated from the objects that lead to the arisal of our afflictions. So a place that is isolated from all the various experiences that one has in one's life, or regular life, or one's ordinary life, the experiences that in the ordinary life that one longs for, the things that may want to buy, or the pleasant things one wants to hear or see. So one is isolated from these. So this is a meaning of isolated in terms of a place of isolation, a place of solitude. And those who aspired with great determination to generate bodhicitta, they went to such a place of solitude, and they sought out an ideal place, and they there strove single-pointedly to generate or cultivate the three trainings and bodhicitta itself.
Ani yemba jile dyoba ine sem de yemba chukor ma de sem yemba ma ina ta ne yemba de na de jira gi nyemne chi tu ma de si na da ne yemba de ni chile ba che de ni me ba jile dyoba ne sem de na me de pa chi tong jan ma chin je o da ga ji chi de le ya tong je de le chi chi che go de kang ba ne de ni yo chong ra de ni yo de le ba cho go de di je ro ngi di ngo xin ba de bu nya de ne yo tu xie sam da de ne yan ba na de xie de ni ge sam da de wei ne da de sa de ne yan ba chi le de de sem de yan ba cha ma sem de ga ze ga le de ni na ko ra ye cham ji go ro wa xie ze de ni za nyam le ya wo chi tu ma le xie de na xin yin za ne yan ba de ba na xin sem de ya de ni ko le ju ne sam ma da xie su su ran ran ge de ko nyam len chi ye ge chue nyam len chi da ga rang de rang sam da ma do xian da ge ni su su le sam ma da xie da ga ran Nyamne rang kora jimba tila samta di dhyana atun ri chine nyamne jayogore jayogore ma to ane samna nala ya punja ta nyense da deniki ane jaycha la ro ta ane dhimni kora yu ta da nga dhin ma samju chayosan dhil ma khyamkyam chukin da saya ta o dhini dhini chukin du shi yin sambe dhini cheshi mangu dhina ane di dhata chakyo ma chita deniki kune samta kyo ma resi gore ta nye yinba nye yinba la dhiba na jisim yinba chi kukur resi chita nye yinba la dhiba jisim di yinba meba na ngadu lu di zunga na zhida wa chikwa resi chikasa di kalay khara zunga na zhiba na sim di lu di zunga na zhiba sem de dhamma sem du guru wa chita nzunga na zhiba ta chikpa res chita dine yinza ne yinpa da dhyoba na shi sem da namin pa ka che ane sosu ge nyamlen che ge dhele ya dhirang samta che di tse chudu sam dhele bezu she gore ma to ane shanaya ge namin ke ge sem yuli ya samta kyo ma re che gore ta dine shi kue ge chimo che gore
Having looked then at what is a suitable place of isolation, we have then discussed physical isolation. First, the need to physically isolate oneself, and what is a suitable place of physical isolation. But achieving physical isolation itself is not the goal. It's a required support, but it's not the goal. Achieving physical isolation but not using it skillfully. This is an error that practitioners, certainly beginners, can easily fall into. So one can imagine going somewhere that's in solitude, somewhere conducive to training, but one's habit patterns, one's ways of thinking come with one. And one sits there with a busy mind, thinking about all kinds of things that one is most habituated to, thinking about, I wonder what's happening in my business or my place of work that I've left. I wonder what's happening with my home. If the sale has gone through well, or the people who are renting it, is it going well? These kinds of busy thoughts. Thinking about your family and friends. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder how they are. I wonder what they're saying about me. All these kinds of thoughts. So congratulations, the practitioner has achieved physical isolation. But they're not utilizing it. They need to they need self-discipline, because what really is required is independence on the basis of physical isolation. The mind needs to be isolated. Mental isolation needs to be achieved. So physical isolation is a required support, but Buddhist training is about, or Buddhist practice is about transforming the mind through training. Therefore, mental isolation is required. Isolation from the busyness and distraction that dominates our mind right now. This mental isolation is being isolated from those discursive thoughts, these ruminations. And it's through self-discipline that we'll be able to transform the mind through our Buddhist trainings. So the purpose of physical isolation is to mentally isolate and thereby gain great skill in our training. Another quotation, brief quotation I want to share is from Shantideva's A Way of Life of Bodhisattvas. Thus, having generated weariness for desire, generate joy for isolation. Thus, having generated weariness for desire, generate joy for isolation. Weariness for desire means weariness for the delights of samsara. The delights of samsara are all these samsaric things, samsaric objectives, everything that we desire that is within the realms of samsara, whether it's material, whether it's our wishes, having things go our own way and so forth. Having come to understand that everything that is bound within samsara has no essence, has no true value, is not worthy of all the physical and mental energy that I put into it. Having come to see that samsara itself is deceptive and is not worthy of my energy and of our energy, one becomes wary for this perpetual desire for one thing after the other, for always wanting things to go our way, not wanting to meet the unwanted, having this object and that object. Seeing that this is a continuous cycle, seeing that we go from birth to birth to birth, we get wary for this. And we start to develop the wish to be freed from this. And this, in other words, we're progressing towards the generation of the mind of definite emergence. And as this grows within us, the wish to be freed from this continued cycle of uncontrolled rebirth in realms of suffering, we think about retreating to isolation, retreating to a place of solitude, because the place where we can put into practice, the place where we can follow the advice of our teachers. In other words, all the teachings we've received, we can reflect on them precisely in accordance with how we have been taught. And here we give rise to delight, for joy, towards being able to retreat to such solitude, isolate ourselves, not just physically, but mentally, through applying the advice, following the advice of our teacher. So this is the meaning of this line, these two lines on the Bodhisattva's way of life. Thus, having generated weariness for desire, generate joy for isolation. Now coming to the fourth of the practices of bodhisattvas, that which is mindfulness of impermanence. So the purpose of this practice is to give up our preoccupation with this life.
That's it, dear. You need to be a social, baby to be a nurse, should do Lugu drink, and I'm sure to be poor. City let on Jesse Lalins.
Loved ones long acquainted must all go their separate ways. Wealth and possessions painstakingly acquired must be left behind. Consciousness, the guest lodging in the body, must too depart. Giving up preoccupation with this life is the practice of bodhisattvas. What is being presented here in this verse is a description of how all ordinary beings, whether human or non-human, tend to live their lives. So from the moment of birth, throughout one's lifespan, until death comes, all ordinary beings, again, whether human or animal or other form of non-human, what preoccupies their mind continuously, and therefore their speech and their activities, is how to achieve happiness in this life. So beings think about having delicious food, having a nice clothing, somewhere nice to live, comfortable possessions, being of good health, all of these kinds of things. How to achieve them, and how to achieve them, how nice it is to have them. These thoughts that dominate us. And with these thoughts dominating us, then those thoughts get expressed and we engage in all these activities that we do. We put a lot of energy into our work so as to acquire money. We gain ever more training and skills for our work so that we can earn more money and get promoted so that we can achieve happiness in this life. This leads to the consumption of all our energy. It ensures we come home and we're exhausted. It ensures that throughout the day this is what we think about, and then we come home and that's what we continue to think about. How to achieve happiness in this life. How to overcome the problems of this life. And within this, no space to think about spiritual practice. Moreover, in addition to this, in order to achieve the happiness of this life and overcome problems of this life, beings engage in a wide number of non-virtuous activities. They may kill others, harm others, steal from others, take advantage of others. In other words, they put their needs, we put our needs first and foremost. Most activities, the impact of others, the impact of our activities on others is not seen as important because we are striving for our happiness first and foremost, and our happiness of this one mere life, our immediate happiness, our immediate overcoming of problems. So coming from this way of thinking, not only does it lead us to engaging it dominates our way of thinking and dominate therefore our physical and verbal behavior, as well as secondly creating so much non-virtue, it has the result of us not thinking about how to achieve the happiness in our future lives. Are we engaging in accumulating the causes that lead to happiness in future lives and eliminating previously accumulated causes that will lead to suffering in future lives? This hardly comes to mind. And when it does, it's weak, it's transitory. So this we need to recognize within ourselves in order to be able to transform it. We need to recognize how pervasive it is within ourselves in order to be able to transform it. And how to do so? It's a meditation that's presented here, the meditation on impermanence. Meditation on impermanence being the way to transform our way of thinking and transform how we live our life. We then need to understand clearly what is meant by impermanence. If something is impermanent, it means it came about independent on causes and conditions. And being impermanent and having come about independent on causes and conditions, it means it will arise, but immediately it will change. It will change moment by moment by moment. Not observable to us necessarily, but it changes momentarily. Being impermanent, come about independent on causes and conditions, and therefore changes momentarily. And thirdly, it will therefore cease, be destroyed, die. So this is the meaning of something being impermanent. It's come about independent on causes and conditions, changes momentarily therefore, and therefore it will eventually be destroyed.
And
마리스 아니 로가시 제라 다와당 로가시 제라 로마디에 파 바 다르제 삼제 토야메 동보디야 토야메 진이 유인의 토야메 차르고 도와스 진은 미다바세 디니시 아주 치용어 볼래 레라와 삼다나 디니시스 디니시 동동도제 디네 미다바레 가스 기리컬 규단 긴치래 디네 기워레 데야야 쳔메도샤 디네 규단 긴 차위게 죄다 디네 디네 메도데 마 닝바차 디네 마삼 디네 도스친 메바차르고 도와스 디네게 삼다라 디가즈 직간즈 통치수 여바디 직간즈 넘긴데 통치고라 디네 삼다레
So that's then the meaning of impermanence, having these three characteristics. And how to reflect on this? So we start with something that's easy to understand. And here we always start with things in the material world, things usually that we can see because it's easy to understand. And the purpose of starting with something that's simple is so that we can gain familiarity with the steps of the meditation, and then we can apply it to topics of great importance. So we take a flower, a beautiful flower. This would have grown from a seed. First, the seed would have been planted, would have been nurtured, it would have sprouted, and it would have grown, and eventually the plant would have been ready for flowers to blossom. Flowers then blossoming, they will start slowly then to wither, and then eventually die. So here, this is a very core sequence of events that we can observe. Within that, if you know your garden well, you'll be aware of subtler changes of the various stages of growth, and then the various stages of the blooming and the various stages of the withering. But it always ends in the plant dying. So here we can see these three steps. The aspects of impermanence. The flower we know is impermanent, no one will disagree. The flower comes about, dependent on causes and conditions, that's clear. It changes momentarily, so we can see this to a degree, but we also know that it does, being material, it changes momentarily. And thirdly, it ceases, it comes to an end. So this we can understand easily with any material object, such as a flower.
Ami Drogonan, Machi Chunjun, Madoyoma, then Ma Ami Drogona, Cherchasa, Ami Drogona, Su, Ma Chilo Yesa, then Chunjun, then Yadima, Rimbiz Yaria, Gamma Rilia, Guards, Kizikiz, Guruci, Cherchasa, then Anzuya Chambora Chate, then Anzugi, Anzige, Chicken Anzugi, Chick Drogota, Punjada, then Nigi, and the Gavora Mongoyote. And do China Gansam Chiliada, Yaya, Children, and Gansam Chilia, and the chicken, Rusuki Pamadiki, and watch and then Susuda Cartage, Pamadiki, she was a set of Meva Chada, and the Susuki, Zasiki Punyada, Mochika, Jobota, then the Meva Chada, do China Chicken. Gurchen, 소소 분야에 파마리 차단 파시 이제 매바차 소소 카드 소소 지부 차드 니네 용고로 와시래
And bearing in mind these qualities or these aspects of impermanence of it coming about whatever is impermanent being dependent on causes and conditions momentarily changing and eventually ceasing we then think of ourselves we think about this in relation to ourselves At one point a long time ago, we were conceived, we grew in our mother's womb, we were born. And this whole process, as I present this, keep in mind these three aspects of dependency, of momentary change, and eventually ceasing. Because as one progresses from one stage to the next, the previous one ceases. So we are born, we're growing as toddlers, we become young children, We form friendships with probably other young children. The whole process, we continue to grow. Some friendships we lose, and they show impermanence as well. And as we grow and we age, our parents, they too, being impermanent, they are aging, and they will cease. They will pass. They will die as well. The friendships that we have formed, they will be lost. The close friendships we formed, they too cease. In fact, some of them transform into relationships of great hostility, where one can no longer even stand the sight or the mention of their name. So in this way, we see that all these aspects of our conception and growth, as well as relating to our parents aging, our relationships with others, all impermanence, therefore come about in dependence on causes, change momentarily, and eventually
cease.
Looking at the first line, loved ones long acquainted must all go their separate ways. No matter how good a relationship we have with someone, how close we are to our parents, for example, they are impermanent. They change momentarily. They've come about independence and causes change momentarily, and they will pass away. Our loved ones, even if we've been inseparable from them for many years, at one point we will separate. Our friendships, no matter how close we once were, we know from our experience, those cease. So here, all these relations, the relationships that we have with others, no matter how close those relationships are, they are impermanent, they've come about in dependence on causes, change momentarily, and will cease.
其实你都当帕玛当卓博当的那个个子，要不然你手机马上出来洗衣的也搞出来嘛，所以说洗衣的检测力度，所以说卓博帕玛搬家个子就往这前部别去前部月份那，你手机刚出来洗衣的搞出来个嘛嘞，其实今年咱得了，那个有点坚持了，对就可搞出来了，其实你给我出国了，其实你给我的搞出来给你个嘛嘞，其实。
This is something we have experience of in our life, and we can observe it in the world. Some people have great power and great influence, but they are all subject to causes and conditions and momentary change, and therefore have died. There's no one, no matter how powerful or how influential, can free themselves from impermanence, because they are in their very nature impermanent, and therefore dependent on causes, and therefore momentarily change, and therefore cease.
And Pejine, that Nunu mother tongue to your Marwa, Dineza, that the Nigi, Sosugi, that Pa Chikiki, you were Chinche, you then King Yong Sosu, she do, and this one nor did you Kuchela Katsu, you have been a disuki Beja Tanja Sosu Mashiva, the Katsu, your mothers. Since that, Sosu, she do, nor Zekatin, Sosu Yim the Kiru, your mother, Shasha to her motto, then let me touch it, Shasha to her motto, Kiru, your mothers, Chesa Dine, Kiru, your mothers. Na dini yaza diso susu deva meyishindo kar jahane chokwa di mida gwaris, gyuwa rukwara, yuwi ki mida be ungi dini mato rangwa yo maris, gyudan jinji la dini dini ki sashabat chasan dini ma kar jahane chokwa ya re mato dili ya rangwa ka yo maris ure.
In the second line, wealth and possessions painstakingly acquired must be left behind. Here we turn our attention to all the desires that we have and have dominated our mind throughout this life and preceding lives. Seeing how we desire one thing after another, no matter what we achieve, we're never satiated, it's never enough. We have a beautiful home, but soon we start to think, actually, a different neighborhood, or perhaps a little larger, or now due to the time of my life, a little smaller is required. If we have lovely clothes, we know we very quickly get tired of what we have and want something new. No matter how delicious our meal is, we always want something nicer. Whatever activities in our life occupy us, we very readily look for something else. Perhaps we want to get better at what the sports we play. We want to take up a new one. Whatever our bank balance is, not enough. We always desire more. Here, this shows that we have not realized impermanence. Everyone will agree that our wealth and our possessions are impermanent. No one will disagree that they are impermanent. They came about in dependence on causes, momentarily change and will cease. But this hasn't been realized. Because if it had been realized, our way of relating to these would be very different. Our value system would be very different. Because the reality is, whatever we have acquired in this life, it momentarily changes and will cease. And even if it doesn't cease whilst we are alive, when our death comes, the relationship our wealth and our possessions have with us will cease. We are not able to take it with us to our next life. There's no one who has the ability to take their wealth and possessions with them to their next life. So all our wealth and possessions that we strive with such energy, particular that have dominated a way of thinking, all of this will be left behind.
Then she did recover the social Ludia Pashasha and Namshi Digi, Namshi the 22 water was the Lucian. Then Drangana, Miji Kala, Dovena, and you should meet the Josh at the Kamba de Ladugor was. Says a Kamba Kid Rayoma, Dranga Kala de Science and a Kamba Kid is a came into us. Dina she, Sosugi, Rigidina, Shine. Mashi Bardu, and also Dantalia, Jigelipe, Langi Ludilia, Jebashu, Jeje, Juyada, and the Jigde, Juyada, then they lead the Tuyada, Kalasaya, Ludi Machaga, Dandala, Dulokoya, and Ludi Ningjiwa Chagi, the Damarag, Jasuchia, and Tuyan Juyada, Damarag, Ludipe, Ludil, Sungu Shujin, Dugor, and also Gain, Mashi Bardu. She said, Dugu Zachimu, Dugor, the name, and she do couple. Lüdi Shasha Joya Mother, Lüdi Kiroya Mares, just a Lüdi Yum de Yohama, then Shasha Joya is, just a Namshi Dunjun, Drangana, Mediator, Drang Midi, Dude, Jordi, Drangal Havana, Nichiba is.
Just like Every holiday that we've enjoyed has come to an end. Every hotel that we've stayed in, eventually we have to leave. So too, as we see in the third line, consciousness, the guest lodging in the body, must too depart. And again, this is nothing startling. We recognize that death is certain, but we haven't realized it. And the truth is, no matter how well we have cared for this body that we do value so, that we try and eat a healthy diet as best we can, we try, or at least we know we should exercise and take care of our body, keep it warm in the winter, cool in the summer. This body that we cared for our entire life, that does not ward off death. Death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. And that is the meaning of this third line. Consciousness, the guest lodging in the body, must too depart. You should be able to see a consistent theme running through these first three lines. That all those that we've had a warm and loving relationships with in this life, all our material possessions and wealth that we've put so much energy into acquiring, and even this body that we've cared for throughout our life, no matter all of these that have taken up so much of our mental and physical energy to acquire and to sustain, all of this will be lost. No matter how great a care we took of our relationships with others, our possessions, and our body, all of this will be lost. And if not lost during our lifespan, it is certain it will be lost at the time of death. It is certain all of these will be lost at the time of death. And at the time, and death is a transition to a new life. It's not an end of our continuum, but it's a transition to a new life. But whilst we're transitioning to a new life, we cannot take any of these with us. Our loved ones can't accompany us. Our wealth and possessions can't accompany us. Our body can't accompany us. Moreover, at the time of death, our loved ones, although they may have the great wish, they cannot benefit us then. Nor can the wealth and possessions that we painstakingly acquired in this life. And certainly, our ailing body cannot help us then either. All that can help us then, the virtue that we have acquired, and therefore what we need to do is accumulate the causes that will lead to happiness in our future lives, transform our way of thinking, being concerned about happiness, not in this mere life, but our future lives. Reflecting well on these three lines, we'll have the independence on reflecting well on these three lines. We'll give rise to the clear understanding that we have to accumulate causes for happiness in our future lives. This is what's important. Not this one life, but the stream of lives that await us. So how to do so? Well, as it's our imprints that do accompany our consciousness from life to life, and it's only our imprints that accompany our consciousness from life to life, so it's imprints that we need to concentrate on. In other words, accumulating causes that will lead to happiness. In other words, accumulating virtue. And in conjunction to accumulating virtue, to applying ourselves to virtue, we need to cease the accumulation of any further non-virtue. We need to cease all non-virtuous activities entirely. This is what we need to do. And again, the reason we need to do it is because our loved ones, our wealth, and our body cannot accompany our consciousness to our next life. But our imprints follow us from life to life, and therefore we need to apply ourselves both to the accumulation of virtue and the elimination of non-virtue.
Jisang gewa dhubya di ang zhugi lunga yusum ye nye chwe dhumya di re, lunga yusum ye kwa ne shen le nubye chawa sa zao ki ne chik miye sen peki
di.
Gewa dhubya di gewa dhugorwa, gewa kat dhugorwa se ne lunga yusum ye nye chwe dhumya ki shen le nubye lunga yusum ye kwa ne shen le nubye chawa sa zao ki ne chik miye sen peki nye ba dhumya da.
Kwa nga kutu zang nye chwe dhumya?
Lunga yusum ye nye chwe dhumya. Lunga yukone shenle nyeba zi nyeba rwa.
Lunga yusum go song teni?
Lunga yusum yukone nyeje domya.
Nyeje domya.
Nyeba.
Nyeba.
Nyeba domya. Nyebi jeba, lugi jeba, nga yu jeba, dukja pati kaya sunya sora, tsurum suwa dirwa.
Sapu go song.
Lunga yusum nyeje domya. Sena lunga yusum yukone nyeje domya di, tsurum suwa dire. Nyeje domba na tsurum suwa si. Lunga yusum nyeje pa, jikime, sami sunya di, tsurum suwa, nyeje domba si. Andi nashi, Sanji ye gada, lami ye gada gaiwi ki an lehati sawa kini chikimi senpi ki an sanji ye gada gaiwi lehati sawa kini chikimi senpi ki domya na an jebi ki dipa sonya chakur an di domya di nga zugi tsurum re di kewa chi ma thara miyuko wa toye gyu re di zan den yako toye gyu chakur di gu gore di shabay na kewa chi ma thara miyuko wa toktu gore gyu di sa gore an di gala ta lunga yusum ji ke gei longche Lunga, Yusum Yukonel, Gay Longjudan, and the Gazadan, Chazaya, Conjolia, Puggy, Puyadan, and Ma Semjelia, Semjin Digi Triada, Semjin Dunga Seg, Dondalia, Chimbatangi, Samji Dinis, Njao, Bezuce, and those Triadi, Juge, and the Jimbinia Menchore, Di in Gavare, Di Gavachimala, Digi Triag, and to Lu Longjudia, Guchagore, Sisan the Munga, Jim Dagarale, Sisan. Then again, and the do sare, and the Sabin Yamlenchia, and the Tundri Yamlenchia, and the Nigget, and Kasan Shiba Nashing Hanzuki, Jawachima, Dien Sambo Toy, Dien Delia, and the Lama gave you senior Yapu, Dennis and Church and Yamle Yapu, and Washo, and Molam Jai, Dien Hanzuki, Setelia, Sahoe, Dire, Dijeva Inna, Nine Hanzuki, Jawachimalia, Sada Mikoba Toya, and Dien Delia, Digitu Tuyagi, Gudi Dires, Jesan Denigi, Saho Hore, Dininza.
Recognizing the need then to accumulate virtue and to purify non-virtue, because it's this and this alone that accompanies our consciousness from life to life. Then, having reflected on these three lines, we come to the clear understanding that what we need to apply ourselves to in this life is to develop the ethical conduct of restraint, where we restrain primarily our way of thinking, develop a mental an ethical outlook, and under this influence, we don't engage in anything physically, in any physical activity that's unethical, or a way of speaking that's unethical. So therefore, we restrain our body and speech by restraining our minds. And this is ethical conduct. Moreover, we commit to engaging in acting in accordance with the teachings. We commit to acting in accordance with the teachings of the Buddha, never going against or acting in a way that's contrary to the teachings of the Buddha. If one acts in a way that's contrary to the teachings of the Buddha, it's unethical behavior. Teachings of the Buddha guide one to be ethical. And the emphasis here is on the ethical outlook, restraining our way of thinking. And this is the primary cause that we need to accumulate and to accompany our consciousness from life to life to ensure we achieve a good rebirth. And then in order to have good conditions in our future lives, we need to cultivate now a generous attitude, an attitude where we recognize that our possessions, our body, our virtue, all that we have, all this should be utilized to ease the suffering and pain of beings, and thereby to repay the kindness of both ordinary beings and our teachers. And thereby, we in our meditation, we offer our possessions, we offer our life, we offer our roots of virtue to our lamas, to sentient beings. In this way, and we do this in meditation, we also, in our practice, we can make water bowl offerings, offering flowers or mandalas, and accumulate vast stores of merit. And this is what accompanies our consciousness from life to life. And furthermore, as we heard yesterday, meditate on patience, joy, perseverance, those four causes, joining them with prayer. Prayers that in our future lives, not only do we achieve a rebirth as a human or a god, but we meet our spiritual teacher at a young age, recognize them, our Mahayana teacher as such, coming under their care, receive teachings and guidance from them, and with joy and energy, we enact those teachings, cultivating them within ourselves, and thereby rapidly spiritually progress, aiding our teacher in the accomplishment of their heartfelt wishes, namely the alleviating of suffering of ordinary beings. So these four causes, those of ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, these are crucial to accomplish and conjoin them with prayer.
Jesse Janju Semba Namji Dangbo Nyamlin Chidu Kabla Tu Chini Kiji Kiji Chiba Mija Mitapa Samta Ne Tse Ditamji and Tse Dili Shimbi Wangi 차단 모순 게 디왕게 롱쥐 사야다 녀뉴도다 지간에 쉐바나 제와 치마 안 디기드야다 타바다 탐제 키메고 방토에게 귤 펭기민도 펭기민도 제다 데스게 안 소소게 류디게 이네 녀음도 쳐줘야 민도 균어저 가서 사바나 녀음도 쳐줘야 민도 제다 소소 파마 본게 자시 녀뉴도 가데이네 데스 녀음도 키티에제 제와 치마 디기드야다 디기 Beji Tayala, Pengi Midu, and the Kiwan Hada Miu, because I talk about the Tamji Kibu Gomatola, Pengi Midus, Chita Dinisa, Chitam Jawa, the Shinji, Anzugi, Benjo, Jubia, Shan, Chikliaka, Shan, Kuhor, Tayaka, Tandaleta, Marja, Jimidus, Pa, Tipa Shahache. That got a Pengu do Lamna, Tangazu Kiwa Chima, Pengu do Karipingu do Sina, Tangazu. 타바르도 군노 자슈심자 탐지게도 나 산제고방 토고도 선비게 삼바치 던데 삼다치 아 저기 류가 예수 예제도 비 수줌송 안에 진배 냠내제 쇠배 냠내제 쫀주에 냠내제 안에 누스제네 몰람 잡다바이나 디기 당어도 깨와 치마님도 조디거래 시르디 디수님도 소소 캐려야 요아데스 데네단 데수기 안에 깨와 치마 Sabo, Sada Mugova, top two water, then Delet in Anne, Longe Punsun Soba, young two water, and Shen Yamle Yapochi to water, Chesa Dininza, and Desu Pingu, Chesanga Yamlin, Chedi, Kao, Chukoeti, Jimba, Chujin, Seba, Twenty, Samjay, Shed, Yamlin Shed, Dizisha, Samjay, and Janus Sembanam Gidu, Jeba Cheche, and Jeba Hakone, said Dizamji, that Shen Chachene, Sidi Tiki to Yaka Lerachevadi, on the Kiava Chimala.
Yeah, those in the Yamlin Naja, and Gorazan, Jan Sembi Gule, Jan Sembi Gule, Gets, Sayo, Jella, and the Sosuke Yamnon, Tone, Shanlia, Lutin, Shan, Dunga, Sayad, Digi Juvia, Shanlia, Pemba, Jesimo, Dugores, Jesan Shendu, Jesimo, Dugores. Now, those in the Jesimanamji, and Dambon Yamlin Chesan, Dinese, Dinigi Yamlin Chesu, Tobe Gule, Kitsan, Shanla Pemba, Shen, Dunga, Sayad, and Digi Juvia, Sosuke Yamnon, Tone, Shanlia, Lutin, Shan, Dunga, Sayad, and Digi Juvia, Shanlia, Pemba, Jesimo, Dugores, Jesan Shendu, Jesimo, Dugores.
Verse concludes with giving up preoccupation with this life is the practice of bodhisattvas. This fourth line then points to the purpose or the meaning of this verse, which is about looking with honesty at a way of thinking and what is dominating our way of thinking and thereby our physical and verbal activities. Coming to see just how meaningless activities that are geared just to the achievement of happiness of this life, such as all the energy that goes into relationships, into accumulating possessions, caring for the body, and doing so though only motivated to achieve fleeting happiness, happiness that is transitory and is and never serves to satiate our innermost need of a longing for stable, lasting happiness. So through successful meditation on the points of the brought out in these first three lines, we'll come to recognize the many faults of being small-minded and petty, and we'll readily turn away from the meaningless activities that are just for this life. We'll readily turn away from these strong habits that we have of having a mind that's dominated by thinking about happiness and achieving things to bring about happiness of this mere life. Turning away from that, turning away from these current preoccupations, understanding that most of what dominates our way of thinking, most of what we strive to achieve, actually will not help us achieve a good rebirth, liberation, or help us to be of real benefit to others. With this recognition then, we start to give up the preoccupation with this life, see the importance of ethics, see the importance of generosity, patience, joy, perseverance. And in this way, we'll accumulate the imprints that will accompany us to our next life. And moreover, through reflecting on this repeatedly over a sustained period, our way of thinking will evermore be turned to the Dharma, turned towards the goals of the Dharma, what is meaningful, ensure that what is preoccupying us is accumulating, is how we're interacting with situations in our life, so that we're accumulating causes that will lead to a good rebirth, liberation, generation of bodhicitta, and enlightenment. In other words, we start to have a mind that's focused on the Dharma, and thereby we interact with others, with life's events, with material possessions, with a mind focused on the Dharma. Our relationship to others, to people, to our possessions, to our own body, is now through the lens of the Dharma. So in this way, we start to transform our mind. We start to gain experience of the various attainments of the Dharma. And as we continue with our spiritual progression, we will come ever closer to the attainment of bodhicitta, and then the actual cultivation of bodhicitta. And that is when we can be of great meaning in the life of others. That is when we can guide others with ever greater skill due to both our knowledge and our experience based on that knowledge. So this is the way that all bodhisattvas practice in order to become bodhisattvas. So us, who aspire to be counted amongst the children of the Buddha, counted amongst the bodhisattvas, this is how we too should practice. We should take this and all these verses as personal advice for ourselves. This fourth practice of bodhisattvas, this is how all bodhisattvas practice in order to become bodhisattvas. This entire text is a roadmap of a path that has been well traveled by the greatest of beings. And that is how we should relate to this text, seeing it as personal advice for us. And not being confused and thinking, oh, this would be nice to achieve, but this is advice that we all can put into practice. This first section of practices, of trainings, which are done in order to give rise to bodhicitta, it's these that we need to concentrate on now, because these are the doorway that once we pass through, we ourselves will enter the bodhisattva path. So as we've seen in this verse then, we need to look at our current state of mind, our current way of thinking, and recognize the faults of this, the faults that come from this preoccupation we have with our friends, with our material wealth and possession, and see the limitations that this way of thinking brings to us. Because our current preoccupation with our body, our possessions, our reputation, friends, and so forth, leaves us with so little energy and time for our spiritual practice. And our mind is so distracted to these things of no lasting value. This meditation is one of great importance. And to the extent that one engages in it repeatedly over a sustained period and it arises within oneself, therefore, to that extent, we'll want to apply ourselves to hearing, reflecting, meditating, and we'll overcome the obstacles to doing so with ever greater ease. And this comes about to our changing perspective, changing what we value, coming to value what has true meaning, what will last. In other words, the accumulation of virtue, the elimination of non-virtue. And as we apply ourselves to these trainings, especially in this first section, we'll see the qualities growing within ourselves. And as we start to experience mental transformation, this will give us ever greater confidence to apply ourselves ever more, because we'll know we are following in the footsteps of the bodhisattvas. But the cultivation of bodhicitta and the goals beyond that, these are possible for me because I am experiencing change. So therefore, I encourage you wholeheartedly to apply yourselves to these trainings and apply yourselves repeatedly over a sustained period. So thank you. We'll conclude here for this morning. And then this afternoon we'll continue with the fifth practice, that of renouncing unwholesome friends.